Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, everyone. Here we are just a few days before Christmas, a few days before closing out another year. Boy, it went fast, didn't it? Hey, this week we're going to try to find some Christmas-related stories for you. And I have one for you. It starts on Christmas Day in, this is kind of confusing because there are several different stories. It either starts in 1873 or 1878 in Switzerland. And you might know him best as a brand name. There's actually a person behind it. The fellow's name is Louis Chevrolet. He was born in Switzerland. He was an automobile designer, a race car driver, a bicycle racer, a bicycle manufacturer. Had quite a full and interesting life. Share a little bit about Mr. Chevrolet here. The first Chevrolet motor car appeared in on November 3rd, 1911. And at the age of 27, after a fairly moderately successful career, first in bicycle repair, then in bicycle manufacturing under the Frontenac name, and of course, bicycle racing, as many of the automotive pioneers started out with bicycles. A little tidbit for you, even the Wright brothers started out with bicycles. We'll talk about more about bicycles another time. He went to work for Fiat, Chevrolet did. And at the age of 27, Chevrolet was sent to America, first with Dion Bouton, and he had worked for them in France, and then he was working for Fiat again. He had two stints with that company. His first recognition in America came not as a manufacturer, but as a mechanic for the Fiat Motor Company. And then 5 years after the turn of the new century, his shining performance as a top quality mechanic led to the company offering him sponsorship as a race driver. And automobile racing, you had to have mechanical skills and absolutely be just fearless. To give you an idea, in 1906, a Stanley steamer was driven to a new speed record, not by Louis Chevrolet, but it was driven to a new speed record of nearly 150 miles an hour. And this was a car with mechanical brakes on the rear wheels only. Well, Chevrolet proved to be a good mechanic and a driver. And he was soon participating in some of the most prestigious races of the time, such as the Vanderbilt Cup race. And he pitted himself against legendary racers like Barney Oldfield, who also got his start in bicycle racing. And his brothers, Arthur and Gaston, in their own right, were excellent drivers and mechanics. And he really came into the spotlight, if you will, with William Durant. William Durant was a swashbuckling businessman, and he was trying to find a way to put Buick on the map. He had recently acquired Buick and was going to be using that as the foundation for a company called General Motors. And he put together one of the first factory race teams. And he hired Arthur and Lewis, and then later Gaston. And, Durant over-leveraged himself, lost control of General Motors. And so he bought a company called Little Motor Car Company and Mason Motor Car Company. And then he hired Lewis Chevrolet to design an engine for a car that would bear the racer's name. And Durant had hoped that the combination of a European-sounding name and the family's racing reputation, well, that would translate it into sales, and it did. After the completion of several test cars to work out the bugs, the 1912 Chevrolet Classic 6 began to roll off the assembly line. Durant had a tendency to use people, kick them to the curb, and was kind of abrasive, and Lewis Chevrolet was no exception. But when he left the company in late 2014, just like with Ransom E. Olds, he lost the use of his name. So he went on to other things and started building high-performance equipment for the Model T Ford and had several other interesting careers. Quite a fascinating gentleman. And there was a series of races here, how Lewis, Lewis Chevrolet's association with Kingman, where I live here in Arizona, is the Desert Classic Automobile Races. These were ran from 1909 to 1914. And by 1914, these had become media sensations. The races were always from Los Angeles to Phoenix across the desert. Each year followed a different course. The 1914 race followed the National Old Trails Road, which would later become Route 66, from Los Angeles to Ash Fork before turning south through Prescott down Yarnell Hill and into Phoenix. And one of the racers in that prestigious event was none other than Lewis Chevrolet. Chevrolet initially worked for the Roblin Mechanic Shop in Bois, France from 1895 to 1899. And then he went to Paris. And then for a short time, he was working in Montreal, Quebec, Canada as a mechanic, and then moved to New York City. And he had two sons and a daughter. And he began working on a project for Autocar in 1907. A revolutionary front-wheel drive car. The man had vision. Just absolutely no doubt about it. He had very little formal education, but he learned car design while working for Buick and started designing his own engine. He built an overhead valve 6 in his own machine shop in Detroit. And he is credited as one of the co-designers of the revolutionary at the time, 1910 Buick 60 Special. After losing out on Chevrolet, he went on and revived the Frontenac name that he had used for producing bicycles. And they used Frontenac Motor Corporation in making racing parts, high-performance parts, mostly for the cheap little Model T Ford. And he was moderately successful. Boy, am I tongue-tied this morning. He also worked with a company called American Motors Corporation. Now, this is unrelated to the American Motors created in 1954 merger of Nash, Kelvinator, and Hudson. It's a totally different company. And he also, in the 1920s, he began working on aircraft engine and development with Arthur. And then he finished his final years as just basically a simple mechanic. And he died on June 6, 1941 from a heart attack. And, well, there you have it. A little bit of a Christmas story this morning. Would you happen to have any questions I can answer for you? And good afternoon to you as well. Do you have any questions about Mr. Louis Chevrolet that I might be able to answer for you while we're here? Well, I'm always glad that you could see it's. I'm glad that you could join us this morning. I apologize, a little bit tongue-tied. It's not like me this morning, but all these things happen. So I hope you found this interesting. We'll have some more Christmas stories this week. I want to say thank you. The Chevrolet is an icon, and well, I have a sponsor that's kind of iconic, which is the Wagon Wheel Motel in delightful, beautiful, magical Cuba, Missouri. Dating to about 1936, this is the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66. And I really don't think a Route 66 adventure can be considered complete without a stay at the Wagon Wheel Motel and a visit with Connie Eccles, the delightful proprietor that has lovingly given this property a new lease on life. I hope you found the program interesting this morning, and I hope you can join me again tomorrow. I'll have another Christmas story for you. And until we meet again, well, adios, mi amigos. Vaya que Dios. A little music from Joe and the boys of the Road Crew. Check out their music at roadcrew66.com.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.